And now on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM and 99.9 in Prescott and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A. It's Talk of the Town. Today is the Thursday Roundtable. Talk of the Town is sponsored by House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, A&E Reaper Graphics, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Barrett Propane, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, Prescott Dirt, Cottonwood Area Transit, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. Now live from the studios of KQ&A, here's your host for today's show, Sanford Cohen.
And good afternoon, everybody. We do, of course, here on Talk of the Town Roundtable, do our Talk of the Town Cottonwood a couple times a month. And this happens to be one of those days that we're going to be heading out to the city of Cottonwood to talk with Ron Corbin, the city manager, and get an update on what's cooking in the center of the Verde Valley wine country. And then a little bit later on, Daniel Greenfield will join us. He has a couple of featured articles in frontpagemag.org talking about a number of different topics, and we will be talking with author Daniel Greenfield here a little bit later on at the bottom of the hour. But let's take a quick break, and we'll have Ron Corbin joining us momentarily, the city manager from the city of Cottonwood. You're listening to Talk of the Town, KQ&A AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, streaming live at kqna.com.
Hi, this is Dave Barrett of Barrett Propane. When you see one of our trucks rolling down the road in Yavapai County, that's not just a fresh tank of propane. That's the warmth the family will feel this winter. The heat that'll cook their meals, wake them up to hot coffee, and dry the clothes they wear. For three generations, people have associated our name with the comfort provided by clean, burning propane. 67 years of touching the lives of families in Yavapai County. You can find out more at BarrettPropane.com. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Will you be my Valentine?
Bruce, what does Valentine's Day have to do with Cottonwood Area Transit? After all, it's a sweet ride every day with Cat.
Rudy, life is like a box of chocolates. Every day with Cottonwood Area Transit routes through Clarkdale, Verde Village, and 26 locations in Cottonwood. With Verde Links, it's a quick and easy trip to Sedona every day.
Don't forget our connectors to Camp Verde and Greyhound through Yavapai Nation Transit.
That's why you're a smooth operator, Rudy.
And I'm taking my sweetheart on the Verde Links to Sedona.
Visit cottonwoodaz.gov for Cottonwood Area Transit and make every day a sweet ride.
That's the sound of healthy hearts. Music to the ears of heart experts at Yavapai Regional Medical Center's James Family Heart Center. Our leading cardiologists and skilled heart specialists work together to detect and treat valve disease. In fact, YRMC's Heart Center is a national model for valve disease diagnosis and treatment. Our team creates customized care plans based on each patient's unique health profile. Our treatments combine leading-edge technology with the latest non-surgical procedures. This means you or someone you love can get back to an active and healthier life sooner. A national care model for valve disease, world-class technology, the latest non-surgical procedures, and amazing heart specialists. All at the James Family Heart Center at YRMC. Inspired by you.
Roses are red, violets are blue. There's a giant share of Castle Cash waiting for you. It's the Don't Break My Heart giveaway at Cliff Castle Casino Hotel. Two hearts are better than one, so grab a loved one and start earning entries all February. Hourly drawings every Saturday in February from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. for a chance to win $5,000 in Castle Cash. At 11 p.m., a lucky guest will have a chance to win $10,000 in Castle Cash. It's the Don't Break My Heart giveaway, only at Cliff Castle Casino Hotel.
Must be 21 and a Players Club member to participate. See Players Club for details.
You have probably heard that all good things take time, but at A&E Reaper Graphics, we deliver great printing now, with same day and next day services available for so many of your marketing or personal printing needs. Don't wait a week for your print signs and custom designs. Stop by one of our three great locations, visit us online, or call 442-9116. Even Amazon can't offer that prime of a service. At A&E Reaper Graphics, we're proud to be your one-stop print shop.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
And we'd like to welcome back to KQ&A Talk of the Town Cottonwood, the city manager for the city of Cottonwood, Ron Corbin. Ron, nice to have you back with us.
Oh, I'm glad to be back. Thank you for hosting.
Oh, you bet. Well, it was good to see you at the annual dinner, the chamber dinner, the other Friday, and we had a quick little chat, but we're going to have a little bit longer one today. So, I appreciate you taking time out from your busy day to chat with us. We're going to talk, of course, about the Verde Valley Wine Trail a little bit later on. That's a favorite subject of both of us. But I guess first thing I'd want to know is, from the city manager standpoint, what's job one right now at the city of Cottonwood? What are the things that you're juggling, and what's highest on the priority list?
Well, budget. So we're getting ready to start our budget process. And so all the departments are starting to put their requests together. And I think we start our budget meetings here in a couple weeks. As a matter of fact, on Tuesday, the first set of departments will give their strategic plan updates to our city council and talk about all the great things that are happening and the needs and the great things that they need to do to, you know, to continue to provide services. So that's internally. And then the other thing, Top, is all the action, all the development we have going on. So we've got two apartment complexes that they're going to review in front of staff here soon. We've got some that are in the works that could add a significant number of apartments and workforce housing to our community. And we got small apartments going up or hotels. City Council just approved a brand new Spring Hill Suites right on 89A and 7th Street. So about 85 new beds coming to town, and so a great place for people to park and then be able to go to places like Out of Africa, Jerome, the Canyon Railroad, Blazing M. So a great place to, right in the middle of everything, you know, 30 minutes from Sedona to Jerome to the highway. We're so excited about those new beds coming to town.
Well, and we knew this was going to happen sooner or later because, you know, there's been so much made of the Verde Valley wine country and Cottonwood, of course, being at the heart of it, and so much more visitation Cottonwood over the past few years. You had to figure that sooner or later somebody would come in there and start adding some hotel space.
Just a matter of time, and I think that the central location to everything, lower prices than, you know, they're going to be about half the price of their same rooms over in Sedona. So I just think, and being 3 minutes from Old Town, where we have a dozen or half a dozen, you know, wine tasting rooms and restaurants and outdoor activities, you know, kayaking and trails, the gel trails right here. I just think there's so much to do that people are just going to be so impressed.
So I'm assuming, Ron, that you have not looked back since making the move to Cottonwood from Yuma, that you must be pretty excited about the kind of growth that's being anticipated.
Yeah, it is exciting to be a part of an organization like this and a community. You know, I've had nothing but love. You know, maybe I haven't irritated the right people yet, but nothing but love. You know, the chamber dinner is a great example of how not just Cottonwood, but the county and Clarkdale and Camp Verde and everybody works together. It's such a great place and exciting time to be. You know, I met with my city engineer this morning, and there's a big restaurant going up on top of the hill right side out of City Hall. It may be a little bit out, but the plans are moving forward. And when that opens up, it's just another gem here for Old Town Cottonwood.
Now, of course, when you're adding things like workforce housing and hotel space and other kinds of development, what generally goes hand in hand with that is city services need to be kept up with the growth. And so what are the contingency plans in terms of things like, you know, parks and recreation and infrastructure and things like that to allow the city of Cottonwood to keep pace and maybe even get a little bit ahead of the curve of the anticipated growth to come in the future?
What a great question. A couple different things. So I'll take it first from our streets. So we're looking at adding some bike lanes to Old Town so that we encourage pedestrian or non-motorized commuting once you get into Cottonwood. We're trying to make it safer and easier for bikes to travel down our main street. So we're working on a thing called a road diet, which they should see go into place May at the latest. You'll start to see those stripes go down and the road improvements. And then parking is a big one when you add hotels and when you add restaurants and those kinds of things. And so we're looking at all of our parking spots, making sure they're kept up. You'll be seeing some maintenance on our current parking lots. And then you'll see some money being set aside in the budget process for future parking lots. The city owns a couple vacant land areas in Old Town. So you'll see us hopefully adding parking in the long term. And then our city council has made a commitment to sidewalks. And so they committed over $300,000 this year to add sidewalks to our community. One is just right outside of Old Town. There's some in a neighborhood on the other side of town. And then there's one more somewhere. I can't remember where it is. Yeah. But we're building sidewalks, again, to make it a friendly, walkable community. So we just keep trying to keep up. We keep asking state for road money so we can work on our roads. And of course, new development, the new hotels, they have to pay for their own water and sewer. So they kind of fund that themselves as we grow. But we just keep looking forward and making sure things are happening.
So you've got the 2020 census now just around the corner. Any predictions in terms of what kind of final number you think might come from the 2020 census count? And then what impact would the census have on the ability for the city to acquire greater funding from the state?
That is a great question. We are encouraging everybody to participate in the census, both English speakers and non-English speakers. We just want to get to everybody, people who usually don't talk to government, because every person that's counted adds about $3,000 to the revenue of the city, which pays for roads and parks and rec and all of those kinds of services, and it really can make an impact. We're expecting a small growth that the Verde Valley has been seeing, just a steady manageable growth. We don't expect to see any big explosion of numbers, mm-hmm. but we don't have a property tax. People often don't know that the city of Cottonwood doesn't have a property tax. So we really depend on those state shared revenues, which are based on population. So any growth that we get reflects in the numbers we get, the money we get from the state and federal agencies. So the census we'll be putting out here later this month, early March, really putting a push through to all the people who don't normally, again, talk to government, you know, whether it's through our library systems or the school systems or just on the streets. We're going to be hitting the pavements trying to make sure that everybody is counted in our community.
Now, you do have, or I should say, the prospective citizen that would be counted has the ability to respond to the census online, correct?
That is correct. As a matter of fact, that is the preferred method this year, mm-hmm. is the online version. And so we'll have kiosks set up in our library, at our rec center, and other city buildings, and we'll have people available to help people fill out their census. The paper document comes later in the process for people who don't respond online. Is the last time I was at a meeting, that's what I was told.
So if you don't respond online or to the mailer, then that's when you get a census taker that comes and visits you at your house.
Knocking on your door, yes.
Yep. And that's, like you said, each person counted, what, is worth about 3,000, did you say?
It is. That's the number I've been told, about 3,000. Which, you know, when you look at, we just completed the Riverfront Master Park Plan, and we have big plans to add trails, to add soccer fields. Our current soccer field in Cottonwood here is in need of some work, so we plan on adding some space so that our kids have places to play their games. They don't have to commute to another community. We're looking at a bike trail, a bike playground area. Lots of stuff's going in there, and the only way we'll be able to do something like that is if we have the revenue to do so.
Well, let's take a quick break. We're talking with Ron Corbin, the city manager for the city of Cottonwood, and we're going to tackle the Verde Valley Wine Trail when we return live here on KQ&A's Talk of the Town, KQ&A AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, streaming live worldwide at kqna.com.
Do you want to chance to win a free lunch at Prescott Brewing Company? Just check our website or follow us on Facebook to find out this week's lucky lunch letters. We draw them every Friday, and if the letters we draw match your first and last name initials, yay, you win a free lunch the following Tuesday. Or find out the old-fashioned way, just pick up the phone and call us at 771-2795. Prescott Brewing Company, in the heart of downtown Prescott.
Cheers to 25 years!
I'm Adam Gettle.
And I'm Ted Gettle.
We're the Gettle Brothers. From Gettle's High Desert Mechanical.
Home of the once-in-a-lifetime experience.
What do you mean, Ted?
On average, people are going to buy a new furnace or AC unit once in their lifetime.
So they might as well buy the best.
Yeah, because if our name's on it, we want you to be comfortable.
For a lifetime.
Go to GettlesHDM.com. That's G-O-E-T-T-L. The guys and gals at Gettle's get it. Got it? Good.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you to who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Hello, this is Susan Morrison. That agent is here at House Chilson Insurance. Come see us today at 400 White Spar Road. We are one of the only locally owned and operated independent insurance agencies left in Prescott.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Will you be my Valentine?
Bruce, what does Valentine's Day have to do with Cottonwood Area Transit? After all, it's a sweet ride every day with
Rudy, life is like a box of chocolates. Every day with Cottonwood Area Transit routes through Clarkdale, Verde Village, and 26 locations in Cottonwood. With Verde Links, it's a quick and easy trip to Sedona every day.
Don't forget our connectors to Camp Verde and Greyhound through Yavapai Nation Transit.
That's why you're a smooth operator, Rudy.
And I'm taking my sweetheart on the Verde Links to Sedona.
Visit cottonwoodaz.gov for Cottonwood Area Transit and make every day a sweet ride.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
And back with us, Ron Corbin, the city manager for the city of Cottonwood, and talking about the Verde Valley Wine Trail. Now, the folks that, and I'm saying this in all sincerity, the way that the Verde Valley wine country has evolved and the city of Cottonwood has established itself as basically the center of this activity has had to have had a major impact on tourism there in the city of Cottonwood. And so explain, if you would, the impact and then talk a little bit about the Verde Valley Wine Trail.
Sure. Well, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I can tell you without the wine consortium and all the owners, you know, this really, you know, government doesn't create jobs or the economy, private business owners do. And so the people who took a chance long before I got here to open up a restaurant and then these wine tasting rooms is just phenomenal. And like I said, I think we have about a half a dozen right here in Old Town, but there's some, you know, right outside of the city limits and in the county and in Clarkdale and other areas. And they bring people in that come in just to taste the wine. They go for a hike in the morning or go kayaking, and then they taste the wine in the rooms. And we have wine from all over the state, from southern Arizona that come up, and from our own award-winning college. So Yavapai College has some award-winning wine there. And so it has had a significant impact on the number of people coming and staying and coming back. So those repeat visitors that come back and to buy and to taste and drink the wine is just, we wouldn't be the same without it.
Sure. And so now as an outgrowth, I guess you could say, of that effort comes the Verde Valley Wine Trail. And this is something that you're able to pretty much promote as a must-see, must-do activity to any wine aficionado anywhere. I mean, who doesn't like wine and who doesn't like hiking?
Right? It's all good stuff. So you go, they have a website, vvwinetrail.com, or you can go to any of our tasting rooms here and pick up a passport. So you pick up this passport, and then you go to all these different tasting rooms, and you get stamped, and you get to talk and to meet to the local owners or the local people who run the little shops there. And then you get put in, and you can win some prizes after you get it all done. And it's not just Cottonwood. I think it goes to Sedona and Camp Verde and Clarkdale and, of course, the county. And it can keep track and introduce you to places you didn't know existed, beautiful little restaurants and little shops that have places for you to drink wine and visit. It's a wonderful experience. And you get to drink wine, and you win prizes. I don't know how that there's any downside to that.
I'm still waiting. it all sounds good to me. When you look in your crystal ball, and yep. Look ahead, and maybe even let's throw in a little Ron Corbin wish list. If you could wave your wand and just say, this is what I would like to see come to the city of Cottonwood. This is what we need. This is what we want. Whether or not it's going to happen in the next couple of years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever it is, what are the kinds of things in your vision that you think the city of Cottonwood needs or would really, really, really like to have?
All right, well I'm going to get in trouble for this one because no one else will want it, but I'm just going to tell you, hopefully nobody's listening. No, I hope everybody's listening. I'd love a Buffalo Wild Wings. It's my favorite bar. I love watching all the sports and having a beer or a margarita, but we're not getting that. We don't want a bunch of chains here in Cottonwood, chain restaurants, so that's not on the list. So what we're really working on next is the outdoor attractions. So we are investing in trails and trailheads, and working with the state park system and the federal agencies and a lot of other partners along the river, and really working on building up our outdoor activities. So we're working on trails that come down the side of the mountain, world-class elevation drop for bikes. We're working on making connections. There is the Arizona Trail System. We're creating a loop around the Verde Valley, around Cottonwood. It'll connect to Kirkdale, Camp Verde, Sedona. It'll actually connect to Flagstaff and over to Las Vegas eventually as part of the plan. So really developing that trail system, I think, will attract people here. And then we're doing crazy stuff working with the Hang Gliders Association to create a better landing spot for them. So when they jump off, and I don't know why you would, but when they jump off the side of the mountain and they glide down, so they have a great place to see. So really creating an outdoor mecca, right here with the river and the trails and the beautiful country that we have right here in Cottonwood. That's really what our next big push is. Now, of course, to do that, we need lots of help. We need small mom-and-pop shops to open up restaurants and retail stores. And, of course, we need probably some more hotel spaces to come in here. We need workforce housing. I know it's not as glamorous as some of the other stuff we have going on, but we need to make sure that we have places for workers to live. And it's a top priority for our city council.
So, and I will say that I have stood at the top of Mingus Mountain and looked over the edge of the launch ramp. And, and I just thought to myself, these people have to be nuts.
Right? It just, like, why would you jump out of a perfectly good airplane? It's not for me.
I don't know. You obviously have a very deep belief in thermals if you're going to do that.
Right?
So now, the I guess the one question I wanted to make sure to ask you, and that is, you know, you talked about the apartment buildings that are under consideration and things like that. Where do you think the growth in single-family housing is going to come from within the city limits of Cottonwood?
So we've got some developments that are selling at a decent pace, but we've got plenty of those. We've got some vacant land out off of 89A that they're looking at, trying to find solutions and making that possible. So I think that we still have infill projects, small places for them to go. We still have developments that have vacant land for sale that they're selling. We have several places inside of Cottonwood that you can still design and build your own home. And then, of course, there's other areas out along 89A that we're looking to expand, working on infrastructure, water, sewer, electricity, those kinds of things, to make sure that it works for the environment and the community and the whole valley.
Well, it obviously is a phenomenal thing to watch, and hard to judge the picture when you're inside the frame, such as you are. But I can tell from talking with you that obviously there is going to be much for you to manage, and that's a good thing for a city manager.
It's a great thing, and I think that we're open for business. We're friendly business, friendly to business. We have a small community, the Sawmill Gardens, that has asked to be annexed in. I think it says good things that the city government here is doing things right, and we're really trying to help others be successful, because it's not about us, it's about others. It's providing place that people want to go, whether it be parks and recreation or infrastructure. You know, we are a small community, yet we have our own transit system. Mm-hmm. How many other small communities our size have a bus system to help people get to the doctor's office? We have a great hospital right here in the heart of the Verde Valley. So we just have so much going on that it's just, it's exciting.
It is. It really is. And Ron, thank you for sharing what's going on there down at City Hall and border to border. We will certainly check back in with you in the weeks to come. But in the meantime, nose to the grindstone, get those budgets done, and hopefully a good 2020 census will mean more money to work with for the citizens of the city of Cottonwood.
Absolutely.
All right, Ron, thanks again. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Ron Corbin, city manager for the city of Cottonwood. We're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we're going to talk with Daniel Greenfield. He is an author and columnist. You can catch him at frontpagemag.com. And in light of the Iowa caucuses, he has written an amazing article about Bernie Sanders and the Iowa caucus. And you really should stay tuned if you're interested in knowing the story behind the story as it applies to the Iowa caucus and Bernie Sanders. Nobody has done more research on this topic than Daniel Greenfield from frontpagemag.com. And he will be joining me live here on Talk of the Town momentarily. So stick around for that and lots more as we continue here on your Thursday live on KQNA AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, streaming live worldwide at kqna.com. We'll be back after the news.
The open road is waiting for you at Affinity RV. You get a home with a view.
This is Bob Bean of Affinity RV Service, Sales, and Rentals, and we're proud to be a long-time local business with three locations to serve you. Willow Creek Road, Prescott, Highway 69 in Prescott Valley and Dewey, and online all the time at AffinityRV.com.
Affinity RV, bringing family and lifestyles together.
You home already?
Yeah, it's just too nasty to be out and about. I think I'll just have Olson's for Healthy Animals in Prescott deliver the stuff we need.
What's that? Pet food deliveries?
This is Steve Sishka with Olson's for Healthy Animals, and yes, you heard that right. Pet food, pet supply, and bird seed deliveries within 10 miles of our Prescott store to your door, and delivery is free on orders over $25. You just call our Prescott store at 445-1664, give our cashier your order, pay by credit card, and we'll have it to you the same day if you order in the morning before we leave.
Okay, but don't you want to see us in your store?
Yeah, but sometimes you just can't make it here when you need the food and other goodies, or you just need some muscle to load it into the storage bins at your house. This delivery service will take care of that. And once again, it's free on deliveries over $25 within 10 miles of Olson's Prescott store. And as an added bonus, you'll get Olson's Good Enough Just Isn't service, because we have an incredible delivery driver. See you at your house.
Everyone is talking about Augie's Restaurant.
Augie's has the best appetizers and the best martinis ever.
It's got a really great atmosphere, a real homey feeling when you go in there. They got a great service staff that takes care of you from when you walk in to when you leave.
It's warm, it's friendly, it's fun, it's home away from home.
Chef Joel, best chef ever.
Check out Augie's. It's the place to dine on Highway 69, Augie's Frontier Village.
The talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
AM 1130 by 99.9 FM. Prescott Chino Valley in Paulden, 95.5 FM. Prescott Valley in Cottonwood, KQ&A. Good afternoon. It's a Thursday, February the 6th. Bob Gregory Scott reporting with news headlines and a check of your weather forecast from the talk of the Quad Cities. The Prescott Valley Police Department morning area residents of someone posing as a Prescott Valley police detective. Prescott Valley Police spokesman Jerry Ferguson explains the department recently found out about a detective impersonation scam.
On Tuesday, February the 4th, at approximately 10 a.m., Prescott Valley Police received a report that an unknown male was impersonating Prescott Valley Police Detective Matthew Wilson.
The victim was told she was going to be charged with a felony crime and was threatened with a lengthy prison term, but was told the charges would be dropped if a large lump sum of money payable from Venmo or gift cards that can be purchased at Walmart was submitted to the caller. Ferguson says detectives and officers will not ask for money and won't facilitate the exchange of it for dismissal of charges.
If you believe you're not talking to an officer or a detective of the Prescott Valley Police Department, please verify through our dispatch center at 928-772-9267.
Anyone who suspects or sees any suspicious activity like this should contact their local law enforcement agency immediately. The Yavapai County Justice and Health Coalition has a new website focusing on building a healthier and safe community. The site provides an overview of innovative programs and resources to improve cross-system collaboration and reduce involvement in the justice system by people with mental and substance abuse disorders. Yavapai County Sheriff's Office spokesman Dwight Dievlin describes what topics are covered.
The Yavapai County Reach Out Initiative, Mental Health Awareness Training Program, and the Pre-Trial Diversion Program. An introductory video with comments from stakeholder representatives may be viewed on the homepage.
Dievlin says the video provides a perspective on the function and goals of the Mental Health Coalition.
Many of these programs are already showing effectiveness by reducing recidivism and providing opportunities outside the criminal justice system for those who qualify. You can view the website at justicementalhealth.com.
Coalition programs also work to increase behavioral health access to children, youth, and families within area schools and maintain understanding of statewide legislation and policies that could affect or contribute to building a safe and healthy community. Live hockey tonight here on KQ&A as the Arizona Coyotes take on the Carolina Hurricanes. Puck drops at 7. In your KQ&A weather forecast for the Prescott area, clear skies as we head on into the evening, a low of 27 overnight, mostly sunny, looking at a high of 60 on Friday, a little bit windy, 10 to 20 mile per hour winds, sunny over the weekend, high of 61 on Saturday, 56 on Sunday, a 40% chance of rain, maybe even snow showers begins Sunday night. In the Verde Valley, clear skies this evening, an overnight low of 31, sunny and mild on Friday, a high of 68 tomorrow, sunny upper 60s on Saturday, low 60s on Sunday, and a 30% chance of rain Sunday night. That's news and weather brought to you this hour by Affinity RV. I'm Gregory Scott reporting for AM 1130 at 99.9 FM. Prescott Chino Valley in Paulden, 95.5 FM. Prescott Valley in Cottonwood, the talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Hi, this is Dave Barrett of Barrett Propane. When you see one of our trucks rolling down the road in Yavapai County, that's not just a fresh tank of propane. That's the warmth the family will feel this winter. The heat that'll cook their meals, wake them up to hot coffee, and dry the clothes they wear. For three generations, people have associated our name with the comfort provided by clean burning propane. 67 years of touching the lives of families in Yavapai County. You can find out more at BarrettPropane.com. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Will you be my Valentine?
Bruce, what does Valentine's Day have to do with Cottonwood Area Transit? After all, it's a sweet ride every day with
Rudy, life is like a box of chocolates. Every day with Cottonwood Area Transit routes through Clarkdale, Verde Village, and 26 locations in Cottonwood. With Verde Links, it's a quick and easy trip to Sedona every day.
Don't forget our connectors to Camp Verde and Greyhound through Yavapai Nation Transit.
That's why you're a smooth operator, Rudy.
And I'm taking my sweetheart on the Verde Link to Sedona.
Visit cottonwoodaz.gov for Cottonwood Area Transit and make every day a sweet ride.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you saved money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Hello, this is Bill Chilson of House Chilson Insurance. For the moments you need us most, call 445-4600. House Chilson Insurance is one of the last independent agents in Prescott.
Everyone's talking about Augie's restaurant.
Augie's has the best appetizers and the best martinis ever.
It's got a really great atmosphere, a real homey feeling when you go in there. They got a great service staff that takes care of you from when you walk in to when you leave.
It's warm, it's friendly, it's fun, it's home away from home.
Chef Joel, best chef ever.
Check out Augie's. It's the place to dine on Highway 69, Augie's Frontier Village.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
And we'd like to welcome to our Talk of the Town roundtable Daniel Greenfield. He is a Showman Journalism Fellow at the Freedom Center, an investigative journalist and a writer focusing on the radical left and Islamic terrorism. He has a brand new article, came out yesterday on frontpagemag.com, which is a publication connected with David Horowitz, who you've heard on this station many times. And the title, Daniel Greenfield, is quite intriguing. It's Bernie's Islamist Bid for the Iowa Caucuses, and it talks about how much Senator Bernie Sanders has tied himself to the Islamic Society within the state of Iowa as part of the caucuses. How did you find out about this?
Well, you know, we're now actually still in the middle of the never-ending Iowa caucus, and really the problem with the Iowa caucus are the satellite caucuses. So the satellite caucuses are happening outside the caucuses. Normally they're supposed to happen in places like nursing homes, colleges, places where you just have a large group of people that may not be that mobile. They have to be there in that particular place. Now, the weird, very weird thing about this Iowa caucus was that they actually set up five satellite sites in mosques. That's not normal. There's only one satellite site in Des Moines that was in a church. You know, there were five mosque sites, which is very, very strange. And the reason for this was even stranger, which is that the people there needed safe spaces. I don't think, you know, people are going to be attacking Muslims at the Democratic caucuses in Iowa. That's not something that would normally happen. So this is very much about you have these Islamic organizations. They want control over the caucus, gender segregation in some of these photos. You could see very much a pitch, for example, in one mosque, the one that most people focused on. The imam had pretty clearly endorsed one particular candidate, and we're talking about how everything's supposed to happen in the mosque. Politics is supposed to go through the mosque, which sounds a whole lot like theocracy.
Now, I'm reading in your article that within the Bernie Sanders campaign are actually people who have been members of Islamist organizations in college or involved with CARE. And for folks that aren't aware of who CARE is, talk about that organization.
So there are a number of organizations that were set up by the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States. The Muslim Brotherhood is an Islamist organization originally out of Egypt, operating really in a lot of countries in the world. Osama bin Laden was a member. Virtually every al-Qaeda leader has been a member. Mr. Arafat has been a member. It's pretty much a kind of wellspring for terrorists, even though the organization itself claims not to be terroristic. But what it does is it takes over organizations. It takes over countries. They recently did in Egypt. And impose the law on them, because that's their ultimate goal. So the Muslim Brotherhood set up a number of organizations in the United States, really a plethora of organizations. If we go back to Operation Green Quest during the Bush administration, those raids seized information showing that they had set up dozens of organizations. But CARE, the Center for American Islamic Relations, is one of the most prominent that acts as the official Muslim lobby in the United States. Its leadership has been to terrorism, particularly to Hamas, and they've been pretty clear about their support for terrorism under certain conditions and a desire that the United States should be under Islamic law. You have CARE connections. You also have ISNA connections. Bernie Sanders attended the Convention of the Islamic Society of North America alongside people who had actually been pretty clear about their support for terrorism, about their support for murdering gay people, particularly Siraj Wahaj, who was an unindicted co-conspirator in the World Trade Center bombing, who said both times in multiple ways that he supports violence, including against gay people. Now, Bernie Sanders was one of only two presidential candidates to actually come to the ISNA convention, which is very much how his campaign revolved around pandering to Islamists. Because, you know, even in the Democrat field, where you have a lot of dubious candidates, nobody except Julian Castro were willing to come to a place where you could be rubbing elbows with an unindicted co-conspirator in the World Trade Center bombing.
The progressive side, which is thought to be the more secular part of the political spectrum, why on earth would they be affiliated with some of the most ultra-Orthodox radical religious groups in the world? It wouldn't seem as though those two factions would necessarily have a lot in common, except maybe just common enemies.
Well, they have quite a bit in common, actually. They both believe society can be made a perfect place if you follow a particular set of rules. I mean, the founding fathers built America as a country where you understood that things are flawed, that things are perfect, and that people should decide, and that it's better if people decide than that if we actually have some sort of totalitarian system deciding for us. These are both, the left and the Islamists are both revolutionary movements. They have a history of associating together, dating back way into the early days of the Soviet Union. So they have a lot of commonalities. When you look at, for example, at the Islamic Revolution in Iran, there was an alliance between the left and the Islamists. You had something very similar happening with the Muslim Brotherhood and the left in Egypt. Invariably, the Islamists stomp them. This happens, but the lessons never actually get learned. They both believe that really that our system is fundamentally bad, that it has to be replaced with a perfect system. They just disagree on which perfect system it is, but that's not something they're discussing right now.
We are talking with Daniel Greenfield from the affiliated with the publication frontpagemag.com. He has written an article yesterday regarding the affiliation of Bernie Sanders with the Islamist groups in the Iowa caucuses. Now, is this something that's just unique to Iowa, or are we seeing something like this? Is Bernie like the chosen candidate for radical Islamists in America?
For radicalists and the radical left, you basically have some of the worst actors around clustering around him. Obviously, when the Sarsour, Ilhan Omar, Tlaib on the Islamist side, but a whole lot of leftist radicals. Project Veritas has been posting these videos of Bernie Sanders campaign workers talking about the kind of violence that's going to be necessary in order to put his agenda. So it's a very ugly scene, but at the same time, you have a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of money behind him. And the Democrat field itself is just poor, so mediocre that, yes, he's actually pulling ahead.
So how does the uninformed people, how do the uninformed people, how do they coalesce around the idea that here you have these pro-BDS, anti-Israeli Muslims that are supporting someone who, if elected, would become the quote-unquote first Jewish president in the history of the United States. Are they counting on people not knowing what their true motivation is?
They certainly are, and the media has not asked Bernie Sanders hard questions, which is a really bizarre situation. Even inside the whole BDS thing, you have somebody running for office who's promising to effectively dismantle Medicare, to dismantle healthcare in America, yet actually can't state what plans would cost and dismisses the whole question as if it's irrelevant. And no other candidate in the race could possibly get away with this. Kamala Harris, who adopted Bernie's plan, was not able to get away with it. Elizabeth Warren was not able to get away with it. But Bernie Sanders just keeps on going because the media really does not ask him hard questions. Mm-hmm. He has a few set statements that he repeats over and over again, and the media is sympathetic to him politically, so they're willing to keep this going and not actually challenge him.
We're talking with Daniel Greenfield. We're going to take a quick break here, and Daniel, I'm going to go ahead and place the call back to you again. We're getting some internet jitters on the line, so we'll try giving you a quick call back during the break, and more with Daniel Greenfield when we return here live on Talk of the Town, KQNA AM 1130, 99.9 in Prescott, 95.5 Prescott Valley Cottonwood, streaming live worldwide at KQNA.com. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Do you want a chance to win a free lunch at Prescott Brewing Company? Just check our website or follow us on Facebook to find out this week's lucky lunch letters. We draw them every Friday, and if the letters we draw match your first and last name initials, yay, you win a free lunch the following Tuesday. Or find out the old-fashioned way, just pick up the phone and call us at 771-2795. Prescott Brewing Company, in the heart of downtown Prescott.
Cheers to 25 years!
Stay warm and comfortable all winter long with Gettles High Desert Mechanical. When it comes to fast, reliable service, the guys and gals at Gettles get it. Building, remodeling, or just making sure your heating and air conditioning is performing properly. Call Gettles and their highly trained service techs will keep your furnace system running at peak efficiency. Avoid disappointments and future regrets. Don't settle. Call Gettles, G-O-E-T-T-L-S. Visit GettlesHDM.com, now offering plumbing repair and service.
Roses are red, violets are blue. There's a giant share of Castle Cash waiting for you. It's the Don't Break My Heart giveaway at Cliff Castle Casino Hotel. Two hearts are better than one, so grab a loved one and start earning entries all February. Hourly drawings every Saturday in February from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. for a chance to win $5,000 in Castle Cash. At 11 p.m., a lucky guest will have a chance to win $10,000 in Castle Cash. It's the Don't Break My Heart giveaway, only at Cliff Castle Casino Hotel.
Must be 21 and a Players Club member to participate. See Players Club for details.
Hi, this is Sam with Prescott Dirt, and we've been family-owned and operated since 1999. We've just expanded our inventory and now have over 80 different products to suit your landscaping needs. We even have planters mixed for gardening, fill dirt, topsoil, ABC, sand, and boulders. So whatever you need, we've got you covered. We even deliver. Come by and check us out at our Prescott Valley office on Highway 69 and Lake Valley Road next to Napa, or in Prescott off of Willow Creek Road and Sandretto Drive behind Affinity RV.
Oh, say, can you see?
It's not every day you hear a British person singing the national anthem, but success is about getting the right attention. At A&E Rupographics, we provide printing that catches the eye. Get your business noticed with exciting new print marketing and signage. Quality marketing shows the quality service we know you provide. Stop by one of our three great locations or call 442-9116. Get your business noticed with A&E Rupographics today.
My portfolio's diversified, my 401k's maxed, my savings account just sat there till I switched it to Marcus by Goldman Sachs. I'm earning way more now, just between you and me. My savings are right on track, feels like I got upgraded for free.
You can money. With an online savings account from Marcus by Goldman Sachs, you could earn much more interest than with the largest banks. Sign up at Marcus.com.
Comparison made to the three largest U.S. banks measured by total deposits. Rates as of January 21st, 2020 may vary by state. Goldman Sachs Bank USA, member FDIC.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, Sanford Cohen.
All right, and we are back with Daniel Greenfield. He is an investigative journalist focusing on the radical left and Islamic tourism, terrorism. You can see and read a lot of his writings on frontpagemag.com. And there was an article, Daniel, that you wrote at the very end of 2019 that was about the most informative take on George Soros that I thought I had ever read. And I wonder if you could just kind of encapsulate for the audience what you discovered about George Soros and why people in general should be concerned about him.
So George Soros has effectively bought up the deal of our political system. He's done it very cleverly because he is an excellent investor, and he's done it to push very radical agendas. So, for example, when you look at messes in places like San Francisco and other major cities, some of those very much rated and abetted by public officials who were backed by George Soros. Now, Soros claims that he wants an open society. In practice, what he is actually doing is buying up political systems, which is the opposite of an open society. He's not just doing this in the United States. He's active in a number of countries, particularly in Europe. He's active in Israel. He's active in the United States. He's active in Australia. He's now just announced that he's got a $1 billion university project that he's planning to launch. But Soros himself is a very disturbed figure. That's probably the best way to put it. Some people have seen the video excerpt of the 60 Minutes interview where he discussed how his actions during the Holocaust, where he participated in disguise with a Hungarian Nazi collaborationist official in the confiscation and the counting of Jewish property, was the most exciting time of his life. But that's really just the tip of the iceberg. This is somebody who's written repeatedly, compared himself to God, wrote that he actually was now finally able to live out his messianic fantasies. So you have somebody who is, on the one hand, a political radical, but also somebody who appears to be increasingly megalomaniac, who has enormous amounts of money and is using them to distort our political system. And that is a deep, deep problem.
So has George Soros, I mean, has he always been around and always been fomenting this kind of chaos? What is the end goal? What is the desired result, in your opinion, of what he's trying to do?
Well, I mean, he's been pretty clear about it. He calls it an open society. In practice, what he's pushing societies to do has become increasingly radicalized. He's pushing virtually every single toxic political trend around, which obviously has very negative consequences on a local level, on a national level, and an international level. What his goal is, he has a stated goal, which is he claims is progress, and he's got other goals, which he stated, which is that he's living out his messianic fantasies. Is he actively trying to destroy countries? Is he doing so for profit? There's certainly reason to believe that. He's been able to profit from investments because he has insider political contacts. So double side of his political advocacy is that he does have insight into what governments are going to do in particular areas, particularly in trade. But I think the larger issue is that, as he stated many times, it does indeed allow him to play God. It does allow him to wield enormous, incredible power over people's lives.
I mean, even here in Arizona, George Soros donated $2 million to the campaign of Sheriff Paul Pinzon to unseat the incumbent Joe Arpaio as Maricopa County Sheriff. And it would seem that, is this just like notches in a gun? Is he doing this just for fun or picking us off one at a time? I mean, it just seems like he kind of chooses his battles both very large and also very small.
So he is definitely working locally, and he's figured out, for example, you know, have national races where people are spending enormous amounts of money. Bloomberg is throwing $250 million at the race. Soros is actually a lot smarter. First of all, he builds organizations, and he builds organizations within organizations. Second of all, a lot of the time what he does is he invests money in races that are under people's radar. For example, attorney general races, secretary of state races on a statewide level, sheriff's races. So those are things that really you don't see a lot of money being thrown at. You don't see a lot of the kind of national energy being thrown at. And he figures that's an area where he can actually get his people in. And once they're in, they can start making significant changes. As for example, the pro-crime stuff that's being pushed locally by sheriffs, which includes obviously not cooperating with ICE, but it also means just not enforcing the law in many cases, prosecutorial discretion, which turns cities into, to put it politely, unlivable hellholes.
Now, George Soros, according to your article, is, as you say, the godfather of the anti-Israel lobby in America. And some of the places that he puts his money that people may have heard of, you talk about J Street, but he also, isn't he involved in funding things like MoveOn.org and Black Lives Matter and literally just about any, leftist protest group, basically you can find George Soros' fingerprints in there somewhere.
That's exactly true. And part of what he's done is he set up this very complicated network because he is very well aware that he is controversial, that his donations result in a backlash. So what he does in many cases is he actually tries to hide it. The donations we know about are just really the surface. For example, J Street, it took quite a while to actually determine that he provided the seed capital for it. And it took a leak of documents to determine that, because he was very well aware that if he sets up an Israel organization, people are going to quickly realize that it's toxic. So what he did was actually hide his donation. The other major donor was a guy operating in Hong Kong who used the secretary as the pastor for the donation. So these people are also very good at hiding. What you actually see them doing is a fraction of what they're actually doing.
Well, we've only got a couple of minutes left with Daniel Greenfield, and can you give us a little sneak peek as to what you're working on, what you might be coming up with next for frontpagemag.com?
Well, actually, just working on the peace and the Al-Qaeda emir, who was actually living in Arizona, had come to this country, filed for disability in this country, was actually training some of our troops at a base, and was now finally caught. So completely crazy story, but this is the sort of thing that open borders leads to.
Well, again, you can follow Daniel Greenfield on frontpagemag.com. It's published by David Horowitz. And we thank you, Daniel Greenfield, for being our guest here on the Roundtable Talk of the Town. We'd love to have you come back sometime soon.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. And that's going to do it for us here for this live edition of Talk of the Town. If you stick around just a few minutes, I have a feeling that the folks at the Mark Levin Show will have a few things to say about what's been going on with the Iowa caucuses and such. So you can stay tuned for that. That'll be coming up right after the news at the top of the hour. And then I'll be back on Friday at 4 with Mike and the Doctor. We're going to do a complete review of the Super Bowl just passed, and also take a look at the trades that have been going on in baseball. And then today was the end of the trade deadline for the NBA, and some interesting deals were made there as well. We'll handicap the whole thing for you tomorrow starting at 4 o'clock on Let's Talk Sports live here on KQ&A. We also have hockey coming your way a little bit later on tonight as the Coyotes take on the Carolina Hurricanes. Tune in for that game. I believe the start of the game is at 7 o'clock tonight. So make sure you tune in for live Arizona Coyotes hockey right here on KQ&A. We want to say a big thank you to Ron Corbin, the city manager for the city of Cottonwood, and to Daniel Greenfield, author and contributing writer to frontpagemag.com. Go over to frontpagemag.com and bookmark that and keep an eye on it. They've got some really cool stuff. Like Daniel Greenfield said, they got an article coming out about this imam that was caught trying to get into Arizona. So stay tuned and stay informed. Right now, that's going to do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow at 4. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
You've been listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by Olson's for Healthy Animals, House Chilson & Associates, Prescott Brewing Company, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Cottonwood Area Transit, Janessa's Family Hair Care, A&E Reaper Graphics, Barrett Propane, Augie's, Cliff Castle Casino, Prescott Dirt, and Yavapai Regional Medical Center. The views on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Talk of the Town on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 a.m. and 99.9 in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.